We're back, episode 2 of week 1057 and a half. What's up, everybody? Here with Javier Jase, my friend, my brother. What's up, man?
Doing great. Super excited about our jam-packed show today.
Legitimately.
Pronunciation. Can I try again? Jam-packed show.
It's beautiful. Drop a one in the chat if you think that was beautiful. I think it's beautiful. You get a one from me, Javi. We legitimately should go back to Cannabis Hour for this show because we have two amazing guests, plus an awesome interview took place yesterday that we're going to play with you talking about AFC Gamma's earnings. A major lender in the space just signed a deal with two FDIC-insured banks in a $60 million revolving credit facility. Huge news for them. But Lynn Tannenbaum chatted with me yesterday about that. But, you know, aside from that, let's get 1 minute here, Javier. How are we doing?
No news. I have no news here.
The only thing I want to say, earnings are generally positive, right? That's we don't need to talk about specifics. Trulieve had a great showing. Ascend Wellness had a good showing, I think, today. We'll talk to them tomorrow about it. Overall, that's just what I think. Earnings have been decently positive for Q1. Javi, any thoughts there before we jump into the first interview?
Very interesting. You can go to benzinga.com/cannabis to find all of the news. You have everything from Zone Properties to Curaleaf, everyone reporting this week. It's just too much, man.
Yeah, God, it's so many people reporting 1 week. We need a cannabis 2-hour show. Anyways, Javier, let's get started, dude. I'm pumped. We're going to talk to two awesome people today live. Everybody, drop your questions. Schwaz is awesome. If we have time, we'll talk about their awesome partnership with Lowell Farms. But Javier, go ahead and introduce our first guest. Let's dive right in.
Sure. Are we starting with Chris?
Yes.
I believe so. Yes, sir. Today, our first guest out of three is Chris Folkerts. He's the CEO and founder of Grenco Science. You might know them better as G-Pen. Let's roll those credits.
What's up, Chris? How you doing, man? Welcome in.
Hello.
You been well, man? It's good to have you on. This is your first time joining us, correct?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into cannabis, man? Tell us about your journey here.
Sure. I guess, like everybody, it started as a passion in high school and continued on into business ventures, albeit, whatever market it might have been to start with. And everybody transitioned over to, medical, and then, we got ourselves into hardware. So, I've been in the space for about 15 years now.
OG, if there ever was one, my God, 15 years and you're still alive, man.
Yeah. Man, I have one of my first stories with legal cannabis products. So I'm like, okay, what do we do? I have some weed in my room, in my hotel, but we can smoke a joint there. What do we do? It's late at night. I walk into a smoke shop in New York and I go, give me your best dryer vaporizer. And without hesitating, he goes, this is the Jeep and it's endorsed by Snoop Dogg back then, right? It's like, take this one. This is the one.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know about you, man, but it's pretty legit to be one of Javier Haas's first experiences.
I evangelized an investor.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I guess, Chris, give us a little rundown, man. You have tons of celebrity partnerships, right? You guys have been in the space for a while.
We have. This is our 10-year anniversary currently this year, so that's been a big accomplishment for the company. Thank you. I guess we could start off with the most notable and that which I think really put us on the map, which was Snoop. That partnership, I think, even at his time and to this day, has been one of the most well done celebrity endorsement and partnership deals in the space.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So where are your products right now? Like, are they across the U.S.? I think I saw on your site they're in Canada. So you are an international company, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that through our distribution, we probably reached upwards of about 50 different countries, through sub-distribution.
Wow.
And again, that's where the smoke shop industry has had a more traditional pipeline, and you know, you look at that industry versus other industries where you're limited to state, you know, or local, you know, state or country. We've been fortunate enough to be in the hardware space. You know, distribution has, you know, been, I would say, a little bit more traditional in the sense of versus plant touching.
I know that this might be a little bit frivolous for some, but I am still interested in some of the other celebrity deals that you've done. Berner is a member of the Benzinga Advisory Council. He's a member of the Advisory Council El Planteo, our Latin American media outlet. He definitely knows his cannabis better than most people out there. Be Real is another very good friend of the house. And again, I really take whatever they say about weed, I take it seriously. Like, they know their stuff. For, you know, I just don't want to be swearing here, but let's say they know their stuff. You know what I mean? You can swear though if you want, it's fine. How do these come to be, and is there an economic benefit, real benefit to GPen, right, and its investors, or is it just more so a marketing?
You know, let's touch on those two. Berner and E-Real are both partners of the company, right? I think that if you look at, you know, with both of them, we've had a relationship with B as we went back in the 10-year and started looking at things. It's like really since the beginning, right? And Berner, not that long, not too long after that, right? It's connected through Taylor Gang, Wiz, and that whole crew as well. So, you know, it's been interesting that we had this relationship prior to, and I think that, you know, when we sat down, the conversations that we had, and I think it was a very humbling experience. I remember both of them. It's like, you know, hey, this is who I see is the perfect synergy for me as a partner. And then my brands, right? Because ultimately you're talking about them as individuals and then their brands, right? That subsequently that are along with that. So I think that, you know, having them stamp that and say, look, like, I see that you guys are going to have, you know, another 10 years. And I think that that's what we really focus on. It's like, hey, look, this product and category is hardware because we don't, it's not limited to dryer vaporizers or concentrate vaporizers or, you know, any kind of a consumable good or anything like that, right? We touch all of them. So I said, you know, realistically, I think that when we sat down, we really looked at what is that long-term plan for the brands and how does that partnership line up? I think that, you know, what you're seeing is a really good example. I mean, you know, I couldn't have more respect for either of the individuals, everything that they do and are currently doing for the space. Right. And then on top of it, I'm like lucky enough to call them friends. So.
Hey. We're going to do a dance anytime.
I'm on somebody else's computer here because I am out of town. My apologies. You know, we're fortunate enough to have that working relationship with them where, you know, we talk directly and we're looking at what the initiatives are for the company and what are we pushing and how are we pushing it. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's really important because you look at celebrity-endorsed brands, a lot of times it's really just a matter of them having input on packaging.
Yeah.
Right? It could be limited to something as little as that and then up from there. But I think with us, you know, as far as we're developing hardware and projects and products that, you know, we're able to work with them from conception on a lot of the things that we're working on, right? And I think that's important because, look, they use the products, right? That's the benefit, as you see, and, you know, and the people that we work with. I think that's the important part is that, you know, you see a lot of endorsement deals and in certain spaces, and it's like a collab, it's a flash in the pan, you see somebody pop up and make a post about it. It's like, you know, we really focus on strategic long-term partnerships.
Yeah. Can you can you give me a sense? You talked about the future of brands here, you know, your first 10 years and where you're going there. The innovation side is super interesting to me as well for the technology of your pens. You know, we're seeing a lot of heat not burn stuff pop up. We're seeing, you know, these different innovations on vaporizations pop up. And honestly, it seems like vaporization products are on the up and up right now in terms of trends in certain markets like Michigan and other pretty big cannabis markets. So innovation wise, I mean, is there a certain direction? And if you can tell us, I guess I should add that caveat.
You know, I think that you hit a lot of points that we're pushing on. And I think that, you know, as I said earlier, we do focus on innovation in all the individual categories, right? So you look at dry herb, that's the majority of the market. Dry herb vaporizers, we're having solutions there, whether it be, you know, the company we're working with out of Massachusetts right now called Hue, H-U-U-E. Those are pre-pressed cannabis pucks for vaporization, and that's a cool solution both for consumers who use dryer, you know, our flower dryer vaporizer users, or even potentially are looking for, you know, some sort of alternative to a cartridge potentially, right? That's something that we're looking at, and that's a company that we're working with that's innovating in regards to the plant, and that's in conjunction with that on the hardware. When you look at like concentrate products, which we do have a lot of focus on as well, right? There's our next big product to come out will be a big push for us in the concentrate market. You'll see that in the next 60 to 90 days. We're set for launch on that. We're currently in production on that product. And then I guess, you know, the addition of Student Glass to our portfolio in 2020 really also laid a lot of groundwork for innovation as well, right? It's the product that, you know, we've worked to have, I think, again, another 10 years ahead of us. And, you know, it's been great to see that, you know, that product has been met with so much reception and enthusiasm in a lot of different spaces. And again, that product in itself means a lot for the innovation category, right?
Awesome, man. Yeah, that was a great answer. Thank you, Chris. Javier, anything else to touch on real quick with Chris while we got him?
I think we are out of time. I wish we had more time to discuss.
Now we got to have an episode too, Chris. Honestly, yeah, you got a lot of things going on.
I want to have you back on to explain how you make dryer vaporizers not suck, which is that big thing. But that needs like quite a bit of time.
It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, man. You have a great rest of your day.
You guys, take care.
Awesome. That was a cool interview. I'm not going to lie. I know Javier has loads more questions, but maybe we'll get, what if we get like Pax and him on at the same time? I mean, would they hate each other? Would they love each other? Is it amicable? Is it, if we weren't in the computer screen, I'd throw a piece of bread at you. I don't know. Anyways, we could find out. Who knows? Honestly, though, super cool conversation with Chris. Yeah,
where the competition is more fierce.
Yeah, why not? Helps the market, right? Helps consumers, makes products better. All right, Javier, very excited about our next guest. We're going to keep it rolling here because we have three really cool interviews. The next one here, we have Rudy Ellenbogen, CEO and I believe co-founder of Planta Scientific. Aaron, let's roll it in, brother. We're going to need an episode two for you too, Rudy. I don't know how we get all this in 10 minutes, man. But all right, so let's roll. Rudy, tell us about you, man. How did you make your way into cannabis? Because you have a really cool journey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you guys. I didn't know your show is so fun, man. The energy is high and this is awesome. So I'm excited to be here. I was in Colorado from 2014 until 2018. With Verde Naturals, the CEO, largest indoor living soil grow in Colorado, and also had DabLogic, that is a renowned non-solvent brand.
Awesome. And you worked with some pretty cool people at Verde, right?
Yes. Who are you referring to?
The one that you and I spoke about was Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong, yeah. When Tommy Chong launched in Colorado, they chose us to be their exclusive supplier of flour. So that was a good experience.
And you probably worked with so many people you don't even remember that you worked with Tommy
Chong. We had conversations with Dead & Co., which was really exciting. Yep. They chose to wait until federal legalization because of some of the other stuff that they do. But yeah, it's been a fun ride. Also met a lot of OGs that, you know, started this industry from the beginning. And, you know, the respect for those people is always there for me.
What about Planta? Can you tell us about what you do? I know it's a little bit complex. So.
It's not that complex. Planta Scientific is my new company. Started a year ago, and it's a Miami-based innovation and manufacturing lab for cannabinoids. These are cannabinoids for consumer packaged good companies with drop-in technology, and so. You know, drop-in technology is solving a problem with the standards in cannabis manufacturing today, which is that isolate is what's mainly being used for mass market products with CBD and minors. And it's not an ingredient that it's easy to use or to the standards of traditional CPG.
You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine who was in cannabis. Now he's not in cannabis anymore, but he brought up an interesting point to me today. Was there is a shampoo company, a pretty well-known one, that has an herbal de-stressing kind of ingredient or active formula to it. I don't think it may not be CBD, or maybe they just can't call it CBD. Who knows yet? But I mean, I would imagine you're focusing in on certain cannabinoids, right, to do this. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, for our audience's sake, it's not just THC and CBD. You're working with a lot more, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we work with CBD, CBN, and CBG primarily because these are cannabinoids that primary research points to efficacy in, you know, treating a lot of medical issues, including pain and pigmentation and acne, et cetera. We're starting with cosmetics and transdermal. The reason why we're working with these minors as well is because we all know about the entourage effect, right? All the cannabinoids, terpenes, and other oils, fats, lipids, and things that work within the natural form of the plant for a synergistic effect. Well, that's really hard to do in manufacturing. You know, people try to go with broad spectrum, full spectrum, but it's not really being effective. And what we're trying to introduce is functionality and efficacy by doing our nanotechnology, but also by using an ensemble effect. And so, you know, adding in minors, you know, ourselves, to formulas can really get a much more synergistic and, you know, potent effect.
That's so cool.
I remember a few weeks ago we were chatting. You were recommending some restaurants in Austin, completely unrelated. And I asked you, like, what's the difference between what Planta is doing and, say, like a regular cannabis beverage, what we see in a canned beverage?
Yeah, today the nano... particle, the nano ingredients used in beverages today are emulsions. Emulsions have a taste problem. Emulsions take a lot more volume and they are unstable. That's why some products they ask you to shake them, right? And so we have patented nanotechnology, which is nanoparticles. Nanoparticles are basically going from a 4,000 nanometers of the isolate to 100 nanometers. So that small size allows to mix much better and not be the difference between oil and water that separates. So it's really game changer.
So, you know, I mean, just looking at this from the business perspective, mm-hmm. You know, looking at, you know, you're looking at perhaps working with a major makeup brand. Mm-hmm. That you might find in like Sephora or something like that, among other products for sure as well. You know, some would look at this as an opportunity to be acquired by a major company, but I feel like you all have such larger opportunities here that you could be a major player in this industry for a long time.
We're really trying to disrupt, because there's been a huge drop since the hype of CBD 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right? CBD was everywhere. Everyone was excited about it. And like now it's like, oh, CBD's gone. Let's go to psychedelics. Let's go to, clinics. And so it's not that it doesn't work. It's just it didn't work because the supply chain was broken, because the ingredient that we were trying to give them to use didn't work. So, you know, the endocannabinoid system is not going anywhere. Our receptors are not going anywhere. The efficacy, we're working with genetic testing so we can actually have markers for these companies. We're already formulating for one public company that was there at Benzinga Cannabis Capital in Miami. So that was really, really good. And we're working with a team that comes from CPG. Our chief science officer was at the highest level, executive level of Procter & Gamble. And people from cosmetics that have formulated for huge brands like Honest and Wella and many others.
That's so cool.
And you know, how does I think we have time probably for one more question. How does like individualized medicine play into this, right? Like you're talking about how CBD is kind of a gone fad, if you will, but at the same time, cannabinoid medicine isn't really.
Right. Well, the reason why we're starting with transdermal is because you can have localized functionality. You can have controlled functionality. So with particle sizes, as opposed to emulsions, we can control the release, the onset. And that is huge for personalized medicine. And also like the efficacy. Nanoparticles are five times or more effective than isolate. And so, you know, when you are disrupting with that kind of factor of five, cost goes down, you're able to really get to the performance of the large CPG companies that have been seeing prices that don't fit with the rest of their standards.
I have one quick question, and then unfortunately we got to wrap up. The education that I feel like is going to be necessary, not only on a consumer level, but the education you're going to have to give to a Procter & Gamble, that you're going to have to provide to these companies looking for your formulations, to me is starting from square, not even one, square like negative one.
Right. So that's why the first step for me was to bring people from that world. In the cannabis supply chain, the CBD, the miners, it's cannabis people. I didn't know the first thing about CPG. I didn't even intend to learn it. I just brought those guys to me and to tell me what are the standards and how do we need to make cannabinoid ingredients to work for these people.
Yeah, no, the great answer, honestly. And I think that's been an answer across the board with a lot of leadership we've seen from finance to CPG execs jumping in. It seems like you are doing some great things there, Rudy. This is a far from over conversation. I want to keep up with you because I feel like the partnerships you make are going to be super, super exciting for the industry as a whole.
And yeah, we're touching on the THC as well through licensing deals, providing them the technology so that they can do it in their labs. And so we're excited to power some edibles with controlled and time release and things like that.
Awesome.
Patches to it.
Thank Rudy, Rudy Ellenbogen, the man over at Planta Scientific. Appreciate you being here, sir. It's really good to see you again. Get you on again very soon, man.
Thank you so much. This was
great. All right. See you soon. Awesome. Javi. I mean, Javi introduced me to Rudy, and I could not thank you more for that. Just such a cool, unique company.
It's a Latino gang, man.
You need the hashtag. You got the MSO gang, and then you got Javi's gang.
It wouldn't probably go so well if we called it Latino Gun.
That's why I shifted the name. Yeah, see the quick thought process there. Javier's like, shut up, Elliot. Awesome guys, one more here for you. That's it for Javier and I live, though. We're gonna head to an awesome interview here that I had with Lynn Tannenbaum, CEO of AFC Gamma. He talked about his earnings, which were released yesterday. Yep. They had a great reaction, or released 2 days ago. They had a great reaction in the market yesterday. So, Javier, anything else?
No, let's hear about that money.
Hit it, Aaron. as promised, y'all, welcome to a special edition here. We got Lynn Tannenbaum, CEO of AFC Gamma, NASDAQ listed AFCG. He gave you the thumbs up. He's feeling good about the report. Lynn, let's dive right in. Our audience knows you. If they don't, they haven't been here long enough. We'll fix that. But tell us, how was your first quarter? Give us a little rundown on the report.
I mean, we crushed it. I mean, it's we just weren't recognizing and why the stock didn't trade. It's trading really well today, but why it was up 10% or so today, but why it wasn't trading well yesterday baffles me. I mean, the things I said to give confidence to the investors, and the good news, guys, now is it's all public information. I have no non-public information. Everything goes into the public report, the transcript, and so on. So I said some very important things. I said, number one, we're paying a 55-cent a quarter dividend. And then I had the board make a forward-looking statement, approve a forward-looking statement. And we're pretty comfortable that we're going to be paying this all year. So you're talking about $2.20 on what was yesterday a $15 stock. Today it's, you know, $16.50 or higher. But that yield, even to book value at 17, is 13% yield to book value. And we also said that, you know, it's possible even the dividend could go up. Like, it could be the same, it could go up. So that was one important statement. Second thing, we're not going to sell stock below book value, which means we're not going to dilute down our shareholders. And if we do a deal like we did the last one, it was 41 cents additive to book value, which is really helpful. So statement number two, which, was a forward-looking statement. And I don't think people, maybe not enough people were listening. And the third one that was really important is, look, this yield environment's getting better. And so our yields are going, we believe our yields are going to be relatively consistent with the 18% yield to maturity, which is sort of the worst case scenario for us. And so that's another really positive. So three really good positives. We have no non-accruals. We're doing really well. The team is feeling really good. And it is reflected in today's move, I think, in the stock on volume, but I was surprised it wasn't reflected yesterday.
It's just, there's probably somebody found AFCG with the word cannabis and thought, the devil, it's the devil. At least that's what I imagine is happening. So let's dive into the first statement about your dividend. I'd like to for you to help us enlighten our audience a little bit about how that compares to the rest of the industry, because we don't hear that a lot in this industry. Maybe you and maybe one or two of your competitors, maybe just one that I can think of. It's rare, right?
I mean, we have dividends, but our dividends the highest, I believe. I mean, you can go look at, you know, IIPR, which has 3% yield.
And, I didn't want to give them airtime, but that was who I was referring to.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at another guy with, you know, that has, you know, a 10 or 9% yield. And 13, look, we've been around for a year now as a public company. We've reported four quarters. They've all succeeded. We've increased our dividends as a public company each quarter. Wow. We borrowed money cheaply. We've lent over $400 million. We've diversified our borrowing base, which I feel really good. I'm the largest shareholder and CEO. Like, we just feel really good about where we are, where our prospects are, and where the market positioning is. The dividends, what excites our investors. And by the way, this dividend, it's even more exciting. It's a REIT dividend. So you get a tax break. This is not fully taxed.
That's even better. I mean, we're all worried about capital gains. Let's take a tax break here. Yeah. But that being said, you know, looking into your earnings a little bit, I read $154.2 million in new commitments closed and $131.5 million in new and existing commitments funded. What's the ideal balance there per quarter that you all look to hold? I mean, obviously, you want it to go up every quarter, but is there a goal that you shoot for, we'll say, in commitments closed per quarter?
No, it's so lumpy. Mm-hmm. We do announce any material deals as sort of they come out, especially if we agent them. So look, we're very excited about the pipeline.
Yeah.
We're very selective in the deals we do about 3% of deals we see. We are really excited about, you know, where rates are and some of the stability in the industry that's now occurring. I went from negative to sort of neutral. Not positive, but watching New Jersey crush it, we can get into that later, is really helping whoever's in New Jersey. They're just, I think, I heard today in one of my panels that Curaleaf, this is hearsay, but I heard that Curaleaf said on a run rate basis, that one dispensary in New Jersey is running $100 million of revenue. So
I heard that. Yeah,
that too. I mean, that's, I mean, we have Acreage in New Jersey who's really crushing it, you know, Verano, like, so that there's some of our clients who we have a lot of money with are doing very well. So look, we're pretty excited. But the dividend is really what it's all about, right? $2.20 dividend per year. That's
Quick question that's not really consequential to your earnings based on that. Are you associated with Goodness Growth, or when Verano finishes that acquisition, do you also begin to start working with their assets as well? I could be convoluting that relationship, though.
I don't know. We're $100 million of exposure across the platform to Verano. We like them as a credit. Our large borrowers are Acreage, Verano, Justice Grown, Nature's Medicine, and we're working on some other very interesting ones too. So
break them here, Lynn. This is where we like to do that.
We should break the next one there. We have to close it. These things have a life of their own. You know, we've sometimes been in a term sheet for 10 months and haven't closed. There's one of those. And there's another one, you know, that, you know, we're working hard on and that we hope to close the next couple of weeks, but there's no guarantee that anything closes when you want it to.
Absolutely. You know, we can't have an interview here with you, Lynn, without discussing, the $60 million revolving credit facility with two FDIC insured banks. Just really quickly, I know you could probably talk on this for the next hour, just given how exciting it is, but could you explain the significance of that to the audience here?
I think the significance is the amazing rate that Brett Kaufman, our CFO, negotiated. I can't even take credit for this one, but I get credit because he's on my team, right? So I get credit as CEO, you get credit for everybody else. But Brett really nailed it here and negotiated a 4.5% rate, which I think is industry leading in terms of borrowing from banks. And I mean, it's floating. It will float higher. It's a prime plus a half. So whatever prime, you know, when the interest rates go up, it will go up. But to borrow that cheaply, lend at 18, borrow 4.5 is really exciting. Both of these banks are great partners. We hope to expand to 100 million. But this is another thing. Like, I spoke about this in previous calls, and this is taking, it took longer than I thought. Bank line coming, and no bank line came. And you know, it's good to finally got there. It gives us a lot of flexibility, but really good cost of capital.
And it could be 100 million. I mean, that's the exciting part. There's room for growth here. And I love that was part of the negotiations.
Yeah, it should be 100 million by the end of the year. I mean, we should be able to get there.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Lynn, any last comments, thoughts you want to give on the report or any other forward-looking statements we need to touch on as we move into Q2? Just say.
I'm excited. Look, I think the analysts asked some good questions. If you read through the transcripts on the earnings report, I think there were some good statements. One of them was how much are we going to do the rest of the year? The answer is it depends on where the stock is, right? We're going to raise capital creatively if we raise capital. We're not going to do deals to do deals. We're going to be highly selective. The goal is to protect the house first and make money second. And I think that's, you know, that's really important. We are seeing strength in some of the limited license states, like finally Arizona's turning the corner, positive on the wholesale market. New Jersey's doing extremely well. You know, we're excited about the new Missouri news that came out last week. We have a lot of exposure to Missouri. Missouri, they had two bills, one of them which wasn't so good for us with unlimited license. The good one looks like it's got the signatures to pass to rec. So that's a good step for Missouri, which will drive some demand there. We've got four really interesting states coming up: North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, all coming out with licenses in the next couple of months. Georgia's looks like it's finalized with their six license holders. So, you know, there's a lot to be excited about in terms of industry growth.
As a new North Carolina resident, I would love to tour. you know, I'll put that out there and we'll see how that goes. But honestly, Lynn, fantastic update. Really appreciate it. We'll always do this again with you. Thank you for taking the time, my friend. Everybody, Lynn Tannenbaum, CEO and partner of AFC Gamma, AFCG on the NASDAQ. Check him out. Obviously, great things happening, moving in a good direction, unlike most of the industry. So
thanks, Elliot.
Always, Lynn. See you soon.